This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Shortly after Russia invaded Ukraine at the end of February this year, our next guest and her family fled their Ukrainian home. They ultimately settled in Oshkosh. Oksana Kotsanivska had a connection with UW Oshkosh, and this fall she's teaching four courses at the school. Oksana, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for calling me.
How did you get from your home in Ukraine to here in Wisconsin and to Oshkosh?
Oh, that was a long trip, to be honest. So to start with, my husband has left Ukraine 2 days before the war started. He went on a regular business trip. Also, he had to meet up with his family in Sardinia. And he used to live there before we got married. So there we came, like 24th of February, the war started. I was in Ukraine with our two small kids, and my husband was in Italy, being really stressed out because we were left in Ukraine. It took him more than a week to persuade me to go to take kids and go to Italy too. But eventually I agreed, and we gathered our stuff and went to the border. He met us at the border, and we farther to Sardinia. That's where we spent the first 5 months of war. And while I was being there, my friend, Dr. Jordan Karsten from UW Oshkosh, contacted me asking if I was in favor of teaching at the university this semester. And at the beginning, it felt like a little unrealistic, you know, but it did work out, and that's how we got here. So thanks to Jordan, and thanks to the whole university staff, basically.
If I may, can you take us back to that day? Obviously, in Ukraine, you'd been dreading the possibility of a Russian invasion for weeks. By that point, when was it first clear to you that it was actually happening that day?
Well, it was clear to me. It became clear to me at 7 a.m. in the morning, because I got a call from my cousin saying it has started. And I was still sleepy. I was like, what started? What are you talking about, you know? And he was like, the war has started, Oksana. Just get ready. I don't know. Take care of the kids. And I tend to be optimistic. I did not think the war would start, actually. I was hoping for some diplomatic solution to that. So it took me, it got me unprepared, I would say so.
And you're here with young children, journeying, as you say, across the border to Sardinia, here to Wisconsin, and you're doing it with two young children. How did you talk to them? What was it like for them having to go through this?
Oh, that, you see, my son is 3 years and 5 months now, and my daughter is 1.5 years old. When we left, my son wasn't even 3 yet, and my daughter was like 10 months. So I didn't tell them anything about the war. Like, I did not specify that the reason we were leaving home was war. I was just saying them that we were going to meet their daddy, and they were excited about that because they missed them. They missed him. They wanted to see him. And I still haven't found the right words to talk to my son. Afraid to tell him something that might be too harmful for him. You know, he's small. And I know that if I start telling him about the war, he will be extremely worried about his grandparents who are there. So I don't want to put this pressure on him. Like, I will tell him definitely who started this war, but I want him to grow up a little bit. I don't feel like he's prepared yet. And I'm not even saying anything about my daughter. She's
of course
super small for that.
We're talking to Oksana Kotsanivska from Ukraine, teaching this semester at UW Oshkosh after leaving Ukraine with her family after the outbreak of war. Oksana, now here you are in Oshkosh. Can you talk about, I guess, the welcome you've found here in Wisconsin?
Oh, we were extremely welcomed here. I even felt that before coming here, because I do realize how much efforts it took the university and some of my friends to prepare everything, to organize it, you know, all the paperwork, all the documentation, all the preparation. It took them a lot of time and efforts, and I appreciate that a lot. But also, after we arrived, my family and I also could feel that people were waiting for us here. We got so many gifts from different people. Most of them were for my children, like toys, diapers, anything, like any necessities, you know. And everyone I meet here is extremely nice and friendly, saying, well, we are happy you're here. We're happy you're safe. And I do feel that it's a sincere talks, you know. So, well, Oshkosh is just an extremely friendly place, and people are really nice and helpful, I can say.
Now, you're teaching a bunch of classes this semester, including one looking at this ongoing war, the Russian invasion of Ukraine. What is it like for you to be, you know, watching your homeland, talking about it in classes while people actually there right now?
I want to look at it opportunity to raise awareness about my country and about its struggles right now. I do like the fact that Ukrainians are now looked at as heroes, mostly. I'm not saying like that we are the nation of heroes, you know, but I do like that people from other countries realize that Ukrainians are doing an extremely dangerous and hard thing right now, fighting a much bigger country with much bigger army. And I think that this Russo-Ukrainian conflict class, it's really nice. I enjoy it. I'm trying to be unbiased. I'm trying not to impose my opinions on my students. But they are critical thinkers. They have their own ideas and they have their own beliefs. And I'm happy to say that those usually match mine. So we do share common opinions, you know. And I did tell them at the beginning that I do not tend to get too emotional, but if I start crying when we are talking about some battles or some casualties, just don't pay attention to that. It's just the war and its influence on us. Because, I mean, I have to look through the news to get ready to discuss those with my students. And sometimes it's amazingly hard to believe that it's the reality, you know. So, I don't know, but I do take it as an opportunity to raise awareness about Ukraine. And I'm happy I have this opportunity.
Well, on a happier note, you are also teaching about Ukrainian literature, and I'm guessing some people have an interest in that, maybe more than they would have previously. Can you recommend a Ukrainian author who might be available in translation that you would steer people toward?
Well, it is actually a little hard to find Ukrainian fiction translated to English, but we managed to pick some for our course. And I do recommend The Grey Bees by Andrei Kurkov. This novel deals with war, but not in terms of soldiers or fighters. It's about a person from the gray zone and his life. I also do recommend The Orphanage by Serhiy Zhadan. It's really nice. Also touches the topic of war, but not from the point of view of soldiers. So those are really nice. They are contemporary. They are up to date. And they might be a little confusing in terms of geography, you know, or in terms of mentality. But if you try, if you give it a shot, you might enjoy them, because I did. I mean, I truly did. And it looks like my students also like them.
And I understand you're also teaching a course on food anthropology. Can you tell us a little bit about Ukrainian food? I don't know if that's a super familiar topic to, except for, of course, Ukrainian Americans here in the state.
Oh, I can talk about food all the time. I love cooking. Yes, sure. You probably heard about borscht, which is a Ukrainian national dish, and it's a part of the heritage of UNESCO. It is really good. If you ever have a chance to try it, just try it. It's amazing. Personally, I'm a fan of bread baking. I have picked this hobby at the beginning of COVID times. I even welcomed my students to the first class of food anthropology with the freshly baked bread with salt, which is like a Ukrainian tradition. It tastes a little different than American bread, I must say, but it's still really good. If we talk about other dishes, it's dyrune, which are like potato pancakes, salty, obviously. They look like hash browns to me more. And they're extremely delicious with mushroom sauce. And holubtsi is like the rice and minced meat wrapped in cabbage leaves. Those are also good. And those are actually the top dishes of American students who come to Ukraine. One that played for. These are all favorites, basically.
Oksana,
there are many more.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you.
That's Oksana Kotsanivska, lecturer at UW Oshkosh this fall. She and her family fled their home in Ukraine during the war with Russia. We talked to her about that experience and how they're settling into life in Wisconsin. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Tom Lujak joins me. We are here to ask you to invest a few minutes of your time to support your future Wisconsin Public Radio listening.
Listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs that you count on here at WPR. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Make an even bigger impact when you give right now, because $25,000 is going to be released when 500 people, including you, make a gift in support of WPR programs by the end of the day tomorrow.
A group of generous members created this challenge to inspire your support of the programs that you and your entire community rely on.
Let's meet that challenge. Your gift of any amount right now makes a difference, brings us one step closer to that big goal. We can do it with your help at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There are so many interesting stories you hear on Central Time every day, every week. For example, in this last segment, we learned about the Ukrainian professor who fled the war in her country and now is teaching at UW Oshkosh. I also learned about her love for food and borscht, one of my favorite meals. So where else are you going to hear that that wonderful insight into what makes people tick? These are the kind of conversations you can count on from Central Time.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Looking for a more subtle way to show off your support for the WPR programs that you love? Ask for the new WPR socks when you give $15 a month or more. These navy and gold socks feature an Argyle-inspired design with a nod to Wisconsin and your favorite radio station. Keep your WPR pride on the down low by wearing them with your favorite boots, or broadcast your love by pairing them up with sandals. It all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You're busy. It can be difficult to squeeze in all the day's to-dos, but no matter how challenging your schedule is, it's always fast and convenient to make your contribution to WPR Online. Just go to WPR.org. With secure online pledging, you can pick the amount you want to give, how you'd like to pay, and even ask for a thank you gift. It's secure, quick, and pledging your support is a simple, easy task that has a huge impact. It funds all the in-depth news, thoughtful conversations, and excellent music and entertainment that are a part of your everyday, no matter how busy things get. So give now at WPR.org. Of course, you can always give us a call at 888-202-2552.
Make that gift right now. It's the Fall Member Drive. Rob Ferret here with Tom Lujak. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you count on. That's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does make a big difference.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get programs that inform and inspire you, programs that entertain and engage you any time of the day or the night.
And what makes it all possible? You do. People who contribute make Wisconsin Public Radio happen.
Your gift of $100 or $10 a month, whatever you choose, it all makes a huge difference to those of us here at WPR. So go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make that gift.
Once in a while, you can actually get more than you pay for. Wisconsin Public Radio is a place where that's true every day. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
Rob, it's hard to buy much for $2 a day, isn't it? But at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. That works out to just $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A group of really generous members will give $25,000 in challenge funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs you count on by the end of the day tomorrow. We're hoping that you will join in, rise to that challenge, make your gift be counted in that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you could show off your love for Wisconsin and WPR with your new pair of Wisconsin Public Radio socks. Ask for yours when you give $15 a month or more for WPR's essential public service. Like WPR, these navy and gold socks celebrate Wisconsin and the importance of staying informed and connected. Make your gift of $15 a month and ask for your Wisconsin Public Radio socks right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, well, thank you. We really appreciate it. Make today the day that you increase your support of WPR by maybe $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Lisa in La Crosse. Lisa tells us, I listen every morning. I appreciate that WPR dives deeply into issues rather than covering them in short sound bites. And Elizabeth in Appleton says, I listen every day. I'm increasing my sustaining donation because it's time to do so. Elizabeth, thank you. Lisa, thank you. Now, how about you? You counted us for great conversations. We count on you to pay for it. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.